But first this evening, the Irish SME Association recently published its pre-budget submission 2027. ISMEI is the only independent representative body for owners of small and medium businesses in Ireland. Now I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by the CEO of ISMEI, Neil McDonnell. Neil, thanks a million for joining us here on In Business. To get going, could you give me a brief outline of your report?
Yeah, well, this year, David, it's confined to a single issue. We're always been told by the politicians, give us one thing to do. So we said, okay, here you go. And it is really to recognise what we see, and not just ISMEI, I mean, the Fiscal Advisory Council, the ESRI, the Central Bank. Everyone says that we are, as a nation, as a state, we are overly dependent on a really narrow group of businesses for a huge amount of our corporation tax, but also for our income tax, our PRSI and our USC. So what we've said is, look, the only way we get around this is that we start to scale our indigenous business. We're not having a pop at multinationals. A lot of our ISMEI members, their only customers are multinational businesses. But if we are going, if we have a future as prosperous as we've been in the last two decades, the only way we can guarantee that is that we scale Irish businesses. And that's going to require a policy shift from government.
Of course, and it's striking, as you said, it was 297 companies account for 84% of the corporation tax. Just building on that briefly, why is that such a concern?
The concern is that, and look, you can't turn on the radio about it without hearing about how much corporation tax we make. But but the other difficulty that you don't, is not verbalized or broadcast a great deal is that the income tax system is overwhelmingly concentrated or gets most of its money from people earning more than 60,000 euros a year. And those employees tend to be concentrated, if they're not in the public service, but that's wooden dollars, public money circulating. The higher income employee base is also overwhelmingly concentrated in the multinational sector. So the only way we're going to overcome this is if we have a domestic Irish-owned business sector where we have lots of highly paid employees. And the only way we're going to get that, the only way we're going to break out of that cycle where Irish businesses tend to be smaller and those that are successful in scaling tend to be sold. And unfortunately, those that tend to be sold to non-Irish business buyers. So we really have to get our heads around the fact that we actually have a cohort of really good entrepreneurs in this country, but we need to encourage them to stay in the game. And rather than selling out their business to a foreign buyer, we want those business owners to stay in and go from a micro business with less than 10 employees to go to a small business with less than 50, become a medium business with up to 250 people. And ideally, then we want to see the more of the Ryanairs, the CRHs, the Flutters, those global businesses that have emerged from Ireland as huge success stories, and of course down your neck of the woods in Kerry, super businesses that essentially started with a brilliant Irish entrepreneur and scaled up. That is doable elsewhere in the Irish economy, but we do need to change some of our tax laws to do that.
Of course, yeah. And on the budget priorities, I suppose if the finance minister could grant just one or two of your budget 2027 proposals, which one do you think would have the biggest impact?
Well, first of all, at a time, all ministers at this stage, the Dáil is about to go into recess and they'll go around and they'll be listening to various stories, people looking for tax reductions and spending increases. The vast majority of what we're proposing costs very little or nothing, or will actually earn the state more money. So, for example, we have one of the highest rates of capital gains tax in Europe. And what we're actually saying is we're seeing tax avoidance behavior by businesses because the rate of CGT is so punitive. If the state reduced, meaningfully reduced our CGT rate, the yield, the amount of tax that Simon Harris would take in, would go up in our estimation by somewhere between $500 million and €1.5 billion. You know, that's really, really serious money. But when you look at the historical profile of CGT, we're actually saying, folks, you're leaving money on the table, which you could be taking in. So reduce our CGT, but then we need to address the failures in our, we've certain entrepreneurial tax incentives that simply don't work. The KEEP scheme, the Key Employee Engagement Program, just has never worked. And programs like that are designed, they're not aimed at the entrepreneur, they're aimed at the employee. And what you're trying to do is keep the talent in small business. We know that the multinationals have a lot more money to pay. But if the KEEP scheme was working, you could have an entrepreneur down in Tralee with an IT business who'd say, look, I can't pay as much money as multinational X, Y, or Z, but I am going to give you some equity in the business. And those kind of employees are the really motivated ones who have skin in the game and they want to grow the business. So we want to see the entrepreneurial tax base addressed. We want to see the situation changed where, you know, employee equity we see as really important. But at the moment, entrepreneurs who give their employees equity in their business are really hammered by the tax man. They're taxed at 55% on any money they take off the table. That's insane. So there are a range of entrepreneurial things that can be done there to assist local businesses in scaling up.
Of course, and I suppose for those reasons you outlined, it's probably why some of the younger people aren't choosing to start businesses for those reasons. I suppose, what should Ireland be doing differently in that sphere then when it comes to, say, apprenticeships or vocational education or things like that?
Yeah, look, that's a tricky area because Ireland's performance in school leaver and college leaver is internationally very high. Ireland does really well when the OECD studies this. Our young people, and by that I mean the sort of 15 to 24-year-old, in educational terms, performs very well. Unfortunately, as those younger people enter the middle-aged and older cohorts, Irish educational performance drops off a cliff. And by the time then they're mature adults, and these are OECD figures, they're not ours in ISMI, but our literacy, our numeracy, and what the OECD calls active problem solving, the ability to, you know, fix a newly occurring problem, we're either at OECD average or we're below. Now, that's not where a small advanced economy needs to be. And we need to be spending money. Our university system is very big, very elaborate, and very well financed. We actually need to make sure that the money that's the $1.2 billion a year that employers pay into the National Training Fund is paid to upskill workers in work, not in university, in work. We're not, again, not having a go at anyone who's in university or pursuing a third level education. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is the sort of people who make the economy go round are the plumbers, the electricians, the IT technical specialists who put that wiring in, that the wiring loom that's driving your transmission desk there in Radio Kerry. Mm-hmm. They're the sort of people that need lifelong learning, and that's what the National Training Fund is for. And we want the government to spend far more money in that regard.
Of course. And your submission, Neil, also points to Italy's Industry 4.0 strategy. What lessons could Ireland take from that, from Italy, that have grown such indigenous business?
Part of that is just instructional for government. You know, a lot of the time, I appreciate that politicians can read a pre-budget and go, sure, you couldn't be doing that, could you? You know, and that's not achievable. The point we're trying to make is that, you know, one of the countries as badly affected by the great financial crash, and hopefully, you know, but certainly my memories of that were awful, and I lost a job after it. But Italy was just as badly affected. And the then Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi, said, we have to do something about it. And, you know, he put together this Industry 4.0 plan, which wasn't about Ferraris or shipbuilding. It was about those ordinary activities where Italy does have strategic capability, but in very ordinary things like in food and wine, in drink, in clothing, in fashion, in IT. And the Italian government really tax incentivized those businesses and said, we want you to get exporting. We need to start generating export sales. We need to start generating foreign currency. And they put together a plan that incentivized those entrepreneurs and incentivized those businesses. And yes, it took 10 years, but last year, Italy overtook Japan as a global exporter. So we've just given the example of Italy's Industry 4.0 plan to say this is very, very doable. It's not actually, this is not rocket science. Here are a few simple measures you can put together and, you know, build it and they will come. If you provide the environment for small businesses to get larger, then their natural tendency is to innovate and to export. So we believe that's a really positive message for government this year.
Of course, and I suppose it should be seen as an investment rather than the cost. And as you outlined there, it's over 5 or 10 years. It's not an immediate change. It can't be, I suppose, in the reality.
Exactly, exactly.
And finally, Neil, if there's one message, I suppose, you'd like the government or maybe people listening to the programme tonight to take away from your pre-budget submission from this year, what would it be?
I suppose the overarching message is please don't wait until everything goes wrong before taking action. We know that Ireland can turn things around when our backs are to the wall and when we hit a major crisis, as we did in the great financial crisis. But The key message now is our finances are relatively good. Most European countries would bite the arm off Simon Harris and Jack Chambers for the set of figures that they're standing over. So please now, while things are relatively good, take the action now. Don't wait until things turn and we don't have the money to play with. Our pre-budget is not actually we're not advocating big spending measures. We're just saying we need to target our spending better, most particularly at our young people and our in-work workforce. Spend the money there and you will see the reward down the line.
Neil, we leave it there. Thanks a million for joining us on In Business this evening.